Thank you very much, Momo. Our last speaker today is our keynote speaker for today's event. The Department of Energy has been instrumental, as you have heard this morning, in providing both grants and loans and other intangible support for that all make this project possible. So it only seems appropriate and fitting that our keynote address should be given by the Secretary of Energy, Dr. Ernest Moniz. Dr. Moniz is a nuclear physicist, sounds impressive to me, who has focused heavily on science and clean energy technology innovation. In the 1990s, he served as Associate Director for Science in the Office of Science and Technology Policy, then served as Undersecretary of Energy. He is also a founding director of the MIT Energy Initiative, director of the MIT Laboratory for Energy and the Environment, and was appointed U.S. Secretary of Energy by President Obama in May of 2013. So without any further delays, I'd like to introduce and have you welcome Secretary Ernest Moniz.
Well, thank you, Chris, for that introduction, and also I want to thank, I'll come to thanking everybody who's spoken, but starting with Manuel, I want to give you comfort that our team has the same view of some of the strains of working together over all these years, so it's completely consistent, but I say that in a very positive way because we know that getting anything big and complicated done is easy to stop. It's everybody has to be working together with the same goal to actually get something done. And I think getting this done just shows that among friends, we're always going to be pushing each other to highest levels of performance. And I think that really is what's been happening. For us to reach this really, really terrific day. I want to thank to Danny for the tour that you gave us this morning. Mayor Arden. Actually, I must say, in coming here to Yucatan and looking on the web, I was shocked to learn about the wars that apparently took place for this to be the county seat 125 years ago, but I guess now it's a good, stable environment for our plant. We can count on peace for the next decades. Senator Roberts, Governor Brownback, thank you again. It's great to be here in Kansas, joining all of you here. Senator Secretary Salazar, great to see you. We are actually neighbors in Southern Colorado, but that's a longer story. And today, with Secretary Salazar's successor, at least, we work very, very closely with the Department of Interior in terms of our energy future. And of course, my good friend Bill Richardson, as was already said, Congressman, Ambassador, Secretary, Governor. A man for all seasons. Bill was the secretary in my first go-round at DOE when I was the undersecretary. Many people often question one's sanity in going back for a second try. Often the Johnson quote about second marriage as the triumph of hope over experience is invoked. But I want to say that I had a great experience with Bill at the Department of Energy. I think we got a lot of things done, and hopefully we will have a similar track record in this second time around. So it was terrific. I will come later to my two colleagues, in particular from DOE, Dave Danielson and Peter Davidson, who certainly have been instrumental in what we're celebrating here today in Yucatan. Let me try to use just a few minutes to put this project in a much larger perspective as to how the President, this administration, the Department of Energy, really is approaching our energy future. It is very strongly based, the President's words, an all-of-the-above energy approach in the service of three major objectives. One is, as we've already heard here, growing the economy, creating good jobs. Second, advancing our energy security interests, not only for the United States alone, but for our allies and friends. And if we look at the situation in Ukraine today, you understand what I mean in terms of energy security of our allies and friends being important for our national security. And third, moving towards the low carbon economy that we need to address climate change risk mitigation and, perhaps unfortunately, adaptation to some of the harbingers that we are seeing from global warming. Secondly, I want to say that in addition to all the above energy, and I'll come back to that, meaning that we really are looking to develop all of our resources, we also work all along the innovation chain. And what we're seeing today is part of that because you may see one of these jars in particular, I can assure you, is the result of a lot of research and innovation. But then we also, if we're going to kickstart this, we have to work with the private sector, with state and local governments, with our research institutions, universities and laboratories, work together to get these technologies deployed and drive those costs down to be competitive. So this plant shows all of these features. The economy, clearly, as we've heard, developing this biofuels industry, building these plants that make stuff, is really about providing really good jobs, in fact, going forward. I would observe that in the country, in no small measure connected to the revolution that we have seen in our energy production, in particular the oil and gas, oil and natural gas revolution, that's been a major part of really a renaissance in manufacturing in this country. In the last 4 years, 700,000 manufacturing jobs. And I want to emphasize those manufacturing jobs, be it for a fuel or for some electronics or whatever, those have the best spillover effects into the rest of the economy. For one thing, two-thirds of all of the private sector R&D in this country is associated with the manufacturing sector. And again, we see that really here in the sense that this is not just about putting steel in the ground, it was about also developing an innovative conversion process to take the cellulose into biofuels. Energy security, that second goal, obviously. Even as we produce more oil in this country, we should not lose sight of the fact that we still do import 7.5 million barrels a day of crude oil. We've made tremendous progress in lowering our imports, lowering our imbalance of payments, but we still import a lot of oil. And for those reasons, and for our environmental reasons, we never lose sight of the need to reduce our oil dependence. And there are three major pathways: efficient vehicles, electrified vehicles, and alternative fuels. So this cellulosic biofuels push is part and parcel, again, of economy, energy security, and environmental goals. So it's really important, and we are seeing, I believe, there may be a few rough spots in the road as we go forward, but we are seeing here today in Hugoton really the beginning of a new industry that is going to address all of these key goals. The other thing I mentioned was working all along the innovation chain: basic research, development, demonstration, deployment. And here again, now I'm going to ask actually my two colleagues here just to stand up so you can see a face. Dave, stand up. So, Dave Danielson here. On my right, your left, heads our Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy. They work on research and development, and that office made an initial grant for what we are seeing here today. And Peter Davidson, on my left, your right, heads our loan office. So that's on the deployment end, getting things like this plant built. So thank you, gentlemen. And as I say, we work all along that innovation chain. So today, again on the deployment end, we are seeing how the loan office could really help Abengoa. By the way, as Manuel said, a partner not only in this project but also in solar projects. Maybe we'll see more. I should say that the loan program has committed roughly $30 billion in an all-of-the-above energy way. Fossil energy projects that lower emissions, nuclear projects, helping to build the first next-generation nuclear plants down in Georgia, so-called Generation 3+, renewables, like what we are seeing today, and solar plants as well, and efficiency projects. So across the board, the program, let me say, not only here in Yucatan, but across the board, has been a tremendous success. I mentioned $30 billion deployed, a 2% default rate. That's pretty enviable in any portfolio, including your retirement plan. And it's doing what it set out to do. So, for example, if I take solar photovoltaics at large scale, 100 megawatt and beyond plants, the loan program kickstarted the first of those plants. Now there are 17 additional projects either operating or under construction with purely private sector financing. So that's what it means to be kickstarting this, and we are hopeful that this is what we are seeing now is the front end of exactly that story in terms of cellulosic biofuels. We get a few going, and then the private sector will take off. Thank you, Secretary. So, and by the way, we can have a lot more of these stories, create those jobs, kick off really new industries in this country, because we have $40 billion of authority left to go, which again, we have a lot of very interesting proposals for, again, these projects that will serve all three of these goals: jobs, security, environment. So it's really a great story. But as I said, we also work at other stages of the innovation chain. Dave's program actually has got the order of 20, I believe, biorefinery types of investments, from early stage to getting up into the pilot stage. But also, of course, really the basic research part of this is also very, very important. And I'll just say that, for example, our universities are, of course, ultimately the origin of innovation in this country. For one thing, they produce the graduates who go out and innovate. And so here, for example, in Kansas, I know that Kansas State and seven other universities are collaborating on the Midwest Bioenergy Outreach Project that studies everything from harvesting costs and infrastructure to move biomass in an efficient way to the chemistry, the intricate chemistry and technology involved for inventing new breakthroughs. So we have to do this across the entire innovation chain, because we need to drive down the costs through innovation of all of our energy technologies and fuels. We need to do it now. That's on the deployment end. But we also need to prepare the big breakthroughs that we're going to need in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years, as we keep using our innovation advantage in this country to our best use. So that really is, I think, the message. We will continue to work in those two dimensions, across the energy space and along the innovation chain. And again, this plan today and our partnership with Abengoa just checks all the boxes. We are eager now to see the startup of this plant producing its 25 million gallons per year, drawing on the feedstock within typically a 50-mile radius, providing, as the governor said, a new business, really, a new revenue stream for our agricultural community, something, by the way, that we work very closely with Secretary Vilsack on. And so thank you all. Thank you for the hospitality, not only for today, but for this plant. Let's get it going. Thank you.